to become a 30. There are four different types of 33rd degree basins. Only one of them ever gets to know it. Only this one group. And they watch everybody as they develop and go up through the ladder. And they talk to them. They get with them and they feel them out and see what their doctrinal beliefs are on certain key issues and see if they are worthy to be brought into this one special group of the 33rd. And when they're brought in, then they're told everything. Now, see, if they tell the rest of you Masons all that, you'll quit. You'll leave. And they can't take that. If they're going to have power, they're going to have a lot of people, because a lot of people is power. Listen, you're the senator. We're going to have a big vote. I represent 20 million people. And here's what we believe and want you to support. But what if I say, I represent two people, and here's what we want. I ain't got any power. Now, there's one possibility that I could, and that's money. And so if you've got a lot of people in your organization, you're going to have money. Clout comes with numbers and money. All pyramidal religious organizations, that means someone's at the top whose word you are not allowed to question. That's a pyramid. And then lesser mortals below them, lessers, and then you bums, you absolute lackeys, you fools, you clods are at the bottom. He said, Brother Floyd, I thought the Masons, that was a fine, religious, upstanding, moral group of people. Oh, yeah? Would you like for me to tell you the truth? In the Mason doctrine, see, until you become a master Mason, that's the third level, see, you agree then, you take an oath then, that you will not sleep with a master Mason or above's wife, daughter, or mother. You understand that's a far cry from the Ten Commandments? In other words, if you're only a first-level Mason and a second-level Mason, your wife is open game to all other Masons and your daughters. Moral? Dear Father! It is one of the most obscene. Let me tell you Masons in here something. When you took the third level initiation rite and you lay down in the floor and they went through all that stuff and they kept trying to pick you up, let me tell you what you did. You ought to be so angry. You went through step by step, word by word, the initiation that everyone ever went through that took the rites of Baal. I'd be pretty mad if someone tricked me and lied to me and deceived me into going through one of the most heinous pagan religious rituals of all time, and I didn't even know it. Sucked me into that. Now, I want to tell you, the guy that led you into doing it probably didn't know either. But the 33rd degree boys in that special little group, they know. And they say so in their books. But you guys don't read their books. They tell you you can read it, but they know you won't read it. Besides, those answers are usually on page 548, and you guys are tired of reading that junk by the time you get there. But when you're initiated into witchcraft, you take the exact same initiation rite. Every single thing you did as a man to become a master mason, the third level, is the exact initiation rite for witchcraft. Why not? It's all Mystery Babylon the whore to tell you what's happening.
Amen.
To give you a chance to be set free from these organizations. Because they're part of the whore. Now, I'm always amazed. People say, we don't know anything about the Druids. You see, you turn on the television, there's Leonard Nimoy or someone like this, you know, your happy host. And they take you over to Stonehenge, and they say, now here's where the Druids worshipped, and maybe this was astrological stuff. We're not sure exactly how they worshipped. We don't know exactly what they believe. History seems to be... I know everything. They worshipped everything they did. All you got to do is read what the cult has always believed. And you know exactly what they believed. The Rosicrucians are part of it. Many, many other cults. Now, I'm not here to name them all. I'd spend the rest of the month just doing that. You remember in Colossians, Paul was talking about all the mysteries. He was talking about some of these cults that we call Gnostics. And he says, but if you want to know a real mystery, the fullness of the Godhead dwelled within Christ bodily. He said, now that, if you want to talk about a mystery, that ought to hold you for a few years. Just cogitate on that one. That a man, God, did become a man. Now listen to me. Everything in the whore teachings is the exact opposite, 180 degrees of the truth. The Bible teaches that God became a man. The whore teaches that men are evolving into gods. The exact opposite. In the teachings of the whore, hear me, they teach, number one, man will not die. You don't surely die. Listen, it goes back to Genesis 3, which we'll read later, the original lie that Satan gave to them in the garden. Many of them that admit that they worship Lucifer, many of them don't, you understand, but many that do, they don't believe, most of them, that they worship Satan. In other words, in cultic teaching, most of their denominations, Satan and Lucifer aren't the same person to them. Most of them do not even believe in a devil. And if there is one, it might just be Jesus. Albert Pike, he admits he worships Lucifer. He doesn't believe Lucifer is the devil. He, in other words, he accepts that part of the Bible that talks about Lucifer the light bearer. Because that's the thing that they all claim to have in common. They have a religious experience that they base their, quote, initiation rite on of seeing a bright light. And in a moment of enlightenment. And quite often with it, they see a light. This is the basic for all this junk you've been reading about people, quote, dying and seeing a tunnel and a bright light at the end of it. They're not really dead, do you understand? But it's a deception. They're close to death. They're not truly dead. And they see this light and they come back and it's their religious experience. How do I know that? The Bible says absence of the body is presence with the Lord. The Bible says that as soon as you die, angels immediately take you to the presence of God, not to a waiting room or a tunnel. This is part. See, Lucifer's name means the light bearer. And they're seeing their light. Not the light of the world. Most of you in here have never even read the Bible one time. Most of you have spent most of your, quote, religious growth time reading paperback books. So, see, if you guys really knew the Bible, had studied it for years, you know, I come along and I grab a bunch of good Old Testament Jews, you know what I mean? You've been studying the Old Testament. Man, I wouldn't tell you all about all this junk. You've been studying pure truth for so many years, I just keep on showing you pure truth. The horror is that the teachings of the cult over the centuries have invaded the bride of Christ. So that you guys in your denominations have teaching after teaching that are not Christian, that are cultic teaching, and you don't know it, neither does your preacher, and neither does the head of the denomination. And moreover, if I could convince the head of your denomination of it, he still wouldn't have the denomination change it. They're that set in their ways. And if you don't believe it, you're very naive. You go to the head of your denomination and try and show him even one thing, and the first thing he'll do is make you feel like a total fool by saying, how much Greek and Hebrew do you have? If you only understood the Hebrew verb, I mean, they'll make you feel like you're trash and stupid, and because he is not about to repent of his belief. And believe it or not, despite what you learned at Sunday school, God put Genesis first instead of John 3:16 for a purpose, rather than you going to Romans and immediately trying to figure all about Romans, and you get into these chapters, chapter 4 and 5, and it starts talking about Abraham in chapter 4, and you haven't even read Genesis. You don't know who Abe is. And then you get to chapter 5, and it starts talking about the first Adam and the last Adam and everything, and man, you're lost. Who's this Adam kept? What I'm saying is, if you want real wisdom, begin at the first of the Bible. I know none of the preachers will hardly tell you this, but I just thought I'd tell you that God put Genesis first for a reason. You take Genesis out and there's no reason for a Jesus. If there's no fall of man, you don't need a redeemer. You see, the seed for every truth in the New Testament is built and planted in Genesis. And it's nurtured throughout the rest of the Bible until Jesus appears in the flesh. So God, in his wisdom, has chosen the best way to deal with us and our sin nature. He put it down in black and white where we could read it. Chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Catholics, there's one of your traditions. You teach that Mary is a co-redemptress. Mary helped him out. That ain't what this is. He did it all by himself. The Bible's been written. You don't see the Holy Spirit, and he's given you me, a teacher. Because if God showed up and you could hear his voice audibly, listen to all of us, hey, Even Moses got scared that day. Hebrews chapter 12 says, Moses, even I did exceedingly fear and quake. You say, well, yeah, but see, God showed up and spoke with all his authority and his power. Why didn't God come forward, just like you? Why didn't God, you know, put on glasses, you know, Clark Kent, and come down like you and just talk to us like you? He did. He did. And when we saw him face to face in the flesh, we treated him cheaply. We said, that is God, that's it? This is the fullness of the Godhead, bodily? Oh, come on. And they killed him. So you understand that as long as you and I have fallen natures, you don't want to see or hear God audibly. Believe me. To only know part of God's truth on a subject will always lead you into a bondage. So I say that to you to encourage you. Hey, if this is true, Scotty, maybe I'd better get in there and start reading that Bible. The American Indian was under judgment from God. They began to worship demons. That's why the white man stomped him. And then we overdid it. And things hadn't been, and we have been suffering. We overdid it. My black brothers and sisters in here, listen to me. Your ancestors were in demon worship in Africa. They were punished. It was judgment from God. And then we whites overdid it. We were not intended to make that kind of slave out of you. And now we're under the judgment from God for it. But let me show you the goodness of God in it. Most saved honkies won't go to Africa to tell anyone about Jesus.
Amen.
At least by God vomiting you out of Africa, at least some of you got to hear the gospel of Jesus here. You're saved. That doesn't justify the wicked way we treated you. I'm just trying to show you that God took bad and made good anyway. And now we whites, even at this moment, the hand of God is upon us. As a people, used as the instrument to bring judgment, but we enjoyed it. You can be sure when Joshua led the Israelis in and they wiped out the Canaanites, they did not enjoy it. But that was judgment. In fact, God gave the Canaanites, have you not read Genesis 15? He said he gave them 400 years to repent before he sent Israel in to wipe them out. And please understand that they were wiped out in order to preserve life. Didn't you read what they were doing? They were slaughtering their own children to these demon gods. Any man that will slaughter his own child needs to be killed. If there's a holy, righteous God around, that man's got to die to save the children. And notice that when all things were restored here, it didn't mean that there weren't any more sinners and wicked people in the world. Like some cult teachings are teaching that everybody finally gets saved. Because that's what the restitution of all things is. If you read Acts chapter 3, verse 23, which is only two verses after that, it tells you that the way God restores all things is he rids the world of the wicked. You cannot have a reign of righteousness otherwise. May I say this too? There are many cults that teach, well, what these wicked people do is they go down to hell and they burn for a while, and finally, after being tortured over and over and over again, they finally will call on God. Beloveds, listen to me. If someone tortures you, you don't ever love them. Being saved has to do with loving God. Did you know that? I mean, you just can't separate those thoughts. You know what I mean? You don't get saved. You don't love anybody that tortures you. You never will love them. And saying that Jesus is Lord is not the same thing as accepting him as your Lord. The scripture says every knee shall bow and every knee will confess that Jesus is Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
But that does not mean that they're saved.
Mm-hmm.
I told you he was Lord before I got saved. I told people Jesus was Lord before I got saved. I knew that. I'll tell you what, I didn't confess that he was my Lord. I knew Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. I knew it for years, but I didn't give him my heart. I didn't love him. Have you ever heard a preacher or a teacher come up with an interpretation and you left the church saying, boy, where did he ever get that? Wow, I would never have gotten that. And it might have blessed you. You might have been thrilled to death with the message.
But you went home saying, I would have never gotten that from that passage. Right. You know why? It wasn't the interpretation. It may have been a true application, but it wasn't the interpretation. Now, if I could get by with that on you guys, hear me, who would I have job security? You know why? If I did that week after week after week to you, where I would teach and you'd read that passage and say, now I can see that that is true what he said, but I would have never figured that out for myself. You know what you're going to do pretty soon? You're going to arrive at the conclusion, I may as well not read the Bible. Because I can't come up with those kind of interpretations. So I'll quit reading the Bible and just come and let Brother Floyd tell me what it says. Oh, am I getting job security? You guys need me. Because I'm the one with the straight line to God. You dumb louts cannot figure out my deep spiritual meaning. See, that's what begins to happen. And pretty soon, I become God. Pretty soon, I run you guys. I can teach you anything I want to, because I got the only Bible that's open in town. You guys aren't opening your Bible to check me out anymore. And what I'm doing is taking good application and teaching it to be the interpretation. And you get afraid. You say, man, I can't get that, so I must not be able to understand the Bible. I don't understand the Bible, so I'll just let Brother, I'll believe anything he says. Now, beloved, that's what happened to us hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And people didn't have Bible to check. And it got real bad. It got real bad. Now, all the time you hear me say this, don't you guys believe me? I may lie to you. You open your Bibles and you check me out and see, did God say what I say God said? And that's why I keep calling off Scripture to you guys. I don't call it off to try and impress you that I know all those Scriptures. I call it off because I know people are taping. And I want those Scriptures to go down on those tapes so that the people that are really interested can get that tape, and I'm not selling them, I give them away, can sit down there and play that tape and stop that tape and say, I want to see if this guy's right on or whether he's trying to lead me down the primrose path. And you can stop it, you can read and see if God said what I said he said. And the Holy Spirit and the Word can minister the truth to you. And I don't have any job security. I don't want to become your high priest. You've already got one. All I am is your teacher and your brother. But the Holy Spirit's the true teacher. And when I get off base, he'll ring a little bell and say, oops, the Bible is not. I don't worship the Bible. I worship Jesus. Those are God's words. Those words will produce life. Because they will point you to the life giver. But I don't fall down and prostrate and worship that Bible. We can make slaves out of you with that book if you don't read for yourself. And I don't want to be a... That's why I keep telling you, check me out, check me out. You read these passages. Hallelujah. I don't want to bring you under bondage. You've already got someone that you become his slave. Jesus, I don't want to change anything.
It's simply a matter of a principle of Bible teaching. Are we to interpret the Bible literally? Or if not, do we really need then super teachers, quote, super teachers, to explain with great explanations that we ourselves, the common little layman in the street, could never have come up with? Boy, that's real job security. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we're all priests unto the Lord ourselves and that the Holy Spirit will teach either one of us. That's what's really at stake.